Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, June 6th. I'm Abby Larico. Staffing at the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department has dropped by about a third since 2014. There's a backlog of DNA tests for homicide cases, and homicide detectives have had to grapple for basic resources.
If you don't have enough people in the division handling the caseload, it puts a lot on the people who are there.
Tom Scheck of APM Reports talks to our Rachel Lippman about the impact those resource issues have had on detectives' ability to solve homicides. That's part of an investigation by STLPR, APM Reports, and the Marshall Project, coming up on The Gateway. Members of the St. Louis Metropolitan Alliance for Reliable Transit say Metro Transit is improving its call-a-ride system, but it needs more work. The coalition gave Metro near-failing grades in its first report card in March. Members released the second report card Wednesday with similar grades. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Barbara Shane Bine is blind and a call-a-ride customer. She recognizes Metro's improvement to trip denials, but still has problems getting rides.
We've got a wide range of disabled folks, and some of the disabled individuals have disabilities that affect their ability to actually press the buttons on a phone. So what they need is the interactive voice recognition system.
In the Alliance's second report card, it failed Metro in being Disability Act compliant. It rated Metro as average for keeping its promises, and it gave Metro a D+ in customer service and a C in engagement. Shane Bine wants Metro to include van tracking to better prepare riders for pickup. Metro officials say software updates will be completed by next year to improve the system. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ameren, Missouri has announced plans to expand its community solar program with a third facility. The company's decision aims to support the demand of more than 4,700 of its customers who want to use renewable energy. Ameren, Missouri has more than 1 million electric customers. Ryan Heidbreyer is a program supervisor of renewables at Ameren, Missouri. She says customers can choose how much solar energy they want to subscribe to at a higher rate.
That will really help Ameren, Missouri to increase the renewable energy that we're putting onto the grid. So I think if everybody does a little bit, then we can really make a big impact.
The 7-megawatt site is awaiting approval from the Missouri Public Service Commission. If approved, it will be built alongside the existing Montgomery Community Solar Center in New Florence, about an hour west of St. Louis. Enough dirt contaminated by radioactive material to fill 2 Olympic-sized swimming pools has been removed from the ground around a North St. Louis County elementary school. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has wrapped up work near Florissant's Jana Elementary.
The site near the school is one of many the Corps remediating along Coldwater Creek, which is contaminated with radioactive material. Companies that processed uranium and other substances for nuclear weapons disposed of waste near the St. Louis airport, and it seeped into the waterway. Officials closed Jana in 2022 after a private firm found radioactive contamination inside. Jeremy Eidelman is a spokesman for the St. Louis Corps of Engineers Remediation Program. He says the public outcry surrounding the school's closure motivated the organization to clean the site quickly.
Our primary goal here is to ensure that all contaminated sites are thoroughly remediated to safeguard the well-being of the community. That's our mission, and that's what we're going to keep doing.
Education officials say they have no plans to reopen the school. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker joined Democratic leaders in Chicago yesterday to officially sign the fiscal year 2025 budget into law. Capital News Illinois reports the $53 billion budget includes funding for education, health care, and ending homelessness. The budget also creates a new child tax credit for qualifying families with kids under 12 and gets rid of the statewide grocery tax beginning in 2026. While some legislators worry there's too much spending, Governor Pritzker calls it a balanced budget that's good for Illinois families.
We have balanced the budget every year. We've heard complaints every year after we balance the budget that next year is going to be terrible. You heard that in 2021. You heard that in 2022. You heard that in 2023. You're hearing it in 2024. People say it every year. And you know what we've done? Balanced the budget every single year.
There's also a $200 million contribution to the state's Rainy Day Fund that keeps the state government running through tough economic times. The new budget year starts July 1st. the Edwardsville community is paying homage to their favorite trail kitty, Newt. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the orange cat had built a cult-like following for his friendly demeanor hanging out on a popular biking trail.
The 7-year-old orange cat could regularly be found on the Nickel Plate Trail. There, numerous bikers, runners, and walkers would stop to pet the friendly feline. When word spread of the cat's death over Memorial Day weekend, Facebook groups and the trail exploded with tributes and photos. Owner Chris Wells says they knew their wandering cat was well-liked, but they didn't know how well.
For us as his owners, that has just been overwhelming, a little bit crazy. It's been heartwarming to know that this little guy, Newt, had such a dramatic effect on the community.
He was so well-liked that Madison County Transit, which manages the bike trail, renamed a sculpture after Newt. Wells says he's thankful his family could share their cat and Newt could bring the community together. In Edwardsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Staffing at the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department dropped by about a third since 2014. There's a backlog of DNA samples linked to homicides, and the homicide squad grappled for resources as murders in the city spiked. Our investigation with APM Reports and the Marshall Project has found that police failed to solve more than 1,000 homicides in the city over the last 10 years. The reasons include shoddy detective work and lack of witness cooperation. Another reason is resources. Tom Scheck with APM Reports spent a lot of time digging into the finances of the SLMPD homicide squad. He spoke to St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman about the findings.
We hear a lot about these declines in police department staffing, Tom. How does that affect homicide cases specifically?
Well, a few ways. Fewer cops mean greater responsibilities. Those beat cops who are out on the street are called to a homicide scene, and typically they have to spend hours there, and that means one less officer to respond to other calls for service. But there's another reason. Some vacancies within the homicide squad may not get filled because of the shortage. Joe Steiger, the business manager of the police union, told us earlier this year that there were 5 open positions in the homicide squad, and he isn't hopeful they'll be filled.
If you don't have enough people in the division handling the caseload, it puts a lot on the people who are there.
There's federal guidance that says detectives should be lead investigator on no more than 6 homicides a year. What's that number for St. Louis detectives?
Well, Scott Aubuchon, the former commander of the homicide unit, said detectives were averaging around 9 cases a year when he commanded the squad from 2018 through 2021. But some detectives testified in court that they carried as many as 22 cases in a year. Now, this matters because the higher workload means it's hard to put time and effort into each and every case, and detectives have told us it's a problem. The family members of victims also told us detectives would use their heavy workload as an excuse for not solving crimes.
Is that staffing problem a decision by city leaders and the department to cut officers?
Well, as you know, there has been some discussion of potentially cutting police officers by some elected officials, but what's really happening is the department is having a tough time filling openings, and the total number of officers is currently about a third lower than what's budgeted. But the department has also put some budget constraints on the homicide division. There were a few years where they actually cut the budget and had to replace it with overtime. And Aubuchon also said that he had to get some approval for minuscule things like a high-definition printer or to crack a cell phone.
How does DNA play into this?
Oh, there are thousands of backlog DNA samples waiting to be processed in the crime lab, and that includes hundreds of samples linked to homicides. As of last June, the number of backlog DNA samples related to homicide cases was 552, and that's more than double the 2019 backlog. The department also said it takes about 15 months to process samples. Now, this troubles some detectives because the longer it takes to make an arrest means someone who committed a crime is still out on the street. The former head of the investigative unit told us last year that the backlog is an issue, but he said detectives are still working actively on their cases. We learned about the backlog and the turnaround time through open records requests to the city and the federal government.
And that's because the federal government gives out money to police departments to help eliminate their backlogs. If the St. Louis Police Department got more than $1.6 million in federal money over the years, why has the backlog actually gone up?
Well, it all comes down to staffing again. The crime lab reported losing 7 of 11 staff members over the last few years, including the lab's technical leader. And lab officials also blame the backlog on what they describe as escalating violence and an increased number of homicides.
Tom Scheck with APM, thank you. we requested repeated interviews with St. Louis police to discuss all of the aspects of this series. They didn't respond to questions, but earlier this week, I got to ask Police Chief Robert Tracy at a news conference what he would say to the family members of the 1,000 homicide victims who never had their cases solved. Here's part of his response.
Yeah, that's bringing justice to these families, working these cold cases, making sure our detectives are calling them back, even if there isn't an update. But what I appeal to are there people out there that have information, please come forward for these families.
Tomorrow, we'll feature the stories of many family members of homicide victims on our website. This entire series, along with graphics, documents, and data, is at stlpr.org.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman and Tom Scheck of APM Reports. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.